Hey guys, welcome to the Rocky and Jiffy Show. I'm Rocky.
And I'm Jiffy. And you're listening to the Rocky and Jiffy Show. Can you believe the shit that's going on?
No, you want to talk about it? Stupid. It's not working.
It ain't working. I'm in like a really kooky mood.
We know.
I think it's the heat.
Oh, it's so perfect for today though, cuckoo.
Yeah, yes.
So we always talk about, oh gosh, you guys should see her outfit. Go check out the YouTube video so you can see what she has on. She gets naked, like more naked every week.
Do I really?
You do.
I mean, I have like lots of clothes on.
Yeah.
So much.
Okay. Well, I know you guys know, like, we always talk about mental health and, you know, I think it's just a huge part of us and like what we do in our life. And but we never really talk about treatments or like types of medications. Mm-hmm. And we thought it would just be beneficial. So we have a very special guest to help us with that because we know nothing about medications. So do you want to
introduce? You guys do.
Oh, no,
I mean,
ma'am.
Mm-mm. You know a little bit.
I mean, I may be able to say a word.
Yeah, I know. So, I know like, what some medications are.
Yeah. But, I mean, I might, you know, be able to say something and be, but I'm not going to know what it does.
Yeah. So you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Allison. I work with Rocky and Jiffy in the hospital. Born and raised in the Rio Grande Valley, and I went to school here in the Galveston area. So I've been practicing here in the Houston area. And I've been working at the hospital for the past 5 years. So.
What do you practice? What's your specialization?
We don't have a specialization. We can pretty much practice in any field. Mine is just psychiatry.
Okay. Oh,
that's cool.
Cool. Do you work with kids and adults?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I work with kids. I think the youngest I've had is like 5.
Oh, wow. They put kids at 5 years old on medications?
Mm-hmm.
Is that good? I mean, because their body is still developing. And even like for adults, medicine has side effects.
And they typically don't diagnose kids younger than like certain ages.
I thought the diagnosis maybe started at 13 or 12.
Maybe.
No, at I five? Mean, you know, it just depends on the patient, what they're, you know, everyone goes through certain things at different points in their life. So it just depends. Sometimes it can be something as minor as like ADHD and like acting out type of behaviors. But sometimes it is like depression as they get a little bit older. You know, it just kind of depends.
You've seen depression in children that small?
Mm-hmm. Usually like trauma type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, physical abuse, sexual abuse.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, people of all ages. Mm-hmm. I think the oldest I've had is like 90. So I see pretty much all ages.
What do you prefer? What group do you prefer?
I mean, obviously you guys see me on the unit, the teens, preteens. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my preferable age group.
Mm-hmm. They're a little bit more like moldable.
Yeah. And at least
they can't really tell you like, I don't want to take that. I know they don't really know like their list of medications and they won't combat.
Yeah. So you can at least try to like educate and like intervene when they're younger. When they get older and you know.
They've been on everything.
Okay. But before we get into like the topic, do you have a rant for today?
No. For next time I will, because I'm kind of working on my rant.
Oh.
I'm gathering evidence.
Okay.
Evidence.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Is anything bothering you right now?
I mean,
do you have to get anything off your chest? Anything at all?
I would like to have sex.
Okay.
I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
isn't it in the hierarchy of needs? Like, sex is a thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to this this motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and his wife. I cannot remember his wife's name, but his name is Tony Gaskins.
Uh-huh.
And so he's, like, really talking about, like, if you're serious and you're ready to start a, like, you know, a healthy relationship, let's go. And he has literally, like, over 25 YouTube videos where he talks about all these things, and like basically, you know, he's just telling me I can't have sex.
What do you mean you can't?
Well, I think so everybody has like different theories.
Okay, that's your coping skill.
Everybody has like different theories on like when you're supposed to give it up.
Yeah.
And they're saying, I think what he's saying is that you shouldn't give it up so much if you want like somebody to respect you or to be in a relationship or to take you seriously.
Yeah.
Because typically like when you give it up on the first date or whatever, you kiss or you know, you do anything sexual, then it's just like that's what that relationship is gonna be about.
Yeah, which is so weird. You can't even take it back. Like, hey, that was fun, but I can't. They're like,
yeah.
They already have that image, like, oh, you're easy.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So yeah, that's so I can't. I'm a grown woman. I don't care. I guess, you know, I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to just be serious or I'm just going to continue having casual sex. Can I say that on air? I mean, it's our podcast.
I'm like, and it's your show.
You can do whatever.
It's our show. I mean, so I don't know.
You're not living in the world of other people right now.
Exactly.
You're in your world.
I'm in my world.
We're not going to judge you.
Thank you. So just, you know, single life is already like still new to me.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So maybe I'm not ready for a committed relationship.
Because
even
think
the word commitment, I just want to break, like run out of this room. Like the building's on fire.
I don't think you're ready. I think
there's
a lot of
either.
Healing that you need.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask yourself, would you want to be in a relationship with you right now? Like, do you think that somebody would be, like, okay with who you are right now?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. I get on my
nerves. I think you should casually date. I think there's nothing wrong with casually dating. I think that you should be very picky about who you have sex with.
True.
And maybe not multiple people.
Yeah.
Especially within, like, the same week.
And
protected sex for sure.
Oh, obviously.
Okay.
Because my cootie pop is valuable. God has blessed me. So I think because my body is the temple.
It is.
You know, so no more.
One day at a time.
Okay. One piece clean at a time.
Oh, that's a penis, right?
Yep, in Italian.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. So, on to mental illnesses. So, what are some common mental illnesses that people might seek medication for?
So, the pretty common ones are pretty much depression, anxiety. But some people come in for, like, anger management stuff they may have. Going on, you know, possibly bipolar disorder, eating disorder, substance use.
There's medications for all of that?
I mean, with medications, it's not just like, oh, this medication is only for eating disorder. This medication is for substance use. You know, it just depends on the medication. So you can use one particular medication for sometimes even multiple diagnoses. So that's where you have to go talk to your provider, get diagnosed, and then, you know, decide what to get started on.
So when somebody goes to see a psychiatrist, are they going for medication management and, like, therapy counseling, or is it just one?
So it's primarily medication management. I think a lot of people are used to, like, what we see on the movies, and they think you're going to, like, sit on the couch and talk to the doctor for an hour. And that is not the case. You know, it's mainly medication management. There is a little bit of therapy there, here and there. But, you know, if you schedule an appointment, you're most likely going to have a medication recommended to you, because that's what a psychiatrist does. Now, a psychologist is a little bit different. Therapist, obviously, is a little bit different. But I think a lot of people have that misconception of, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be there for an hour talking on the couch. Yeah, they may recommend a medication, but it's not primarily therapy. No.
So psychiatrists work primarily with medications. Therapists do basically talk counseling. And then psychologists, do they do both?
There are some psychologists that can actually prescribe. And I mean, I don't know the details about that. But, but yeah, they do a lot of therapy, a lot of, you know, whether it's like family therapy, individual therapy, yeah.
Wow.
I know when I had my second child, I had like really bad postpartum depression.
I remember that.
It was so bad. It got to the point where I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to come back. And so mm-hmm. people just kept saying, why don't you just go start medications? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, like, my whole life I've been so against mm-hmm. medications. I'm like, mm-hmm. no. For a long time, I didn't even think that mental illnesses were real. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I went through my whole life thinking, like, oh, gosh, like, mind over everything. And yeah, I didn't believe any of that until I went to college. And once I graduated, I got the job at the hospital. And then mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit, like, people really are suffering from like hallucinations and like it's just not made up. But I went to a psychiatrist and I was like, I felt officially certified crazy.
Yeah.
Why?
Despite like everything that I've seen in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like, oh my God, I got to the point where I really need medications. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a lot of women who experienced postpartum depression and they said mm-hmm. the only thing that brought them out was the mood boosters.
Yeah.
And I went and I was just like so against it. I think I was prescribed like 5.5 milligrams of like Zoloft or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 25, I think.
If something that was high, yeah, I thought. And I was like, no, can we just go like a little lower?
Yeah.
A little lower. like the lowest dose that you have.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of like sat there with it and then I just never took it.
Yeah.
Because I never took it because I told.
I remember you told me. Yeah.
I told the psychiatrist. I was like, look, okay, so you can send the prescription. I'll consider taking it. I do want to try like working out. I want to try exercise and I want to try a good diet and I want to see if I can balance it out. And she was like, so you think that you can supplement medication with working out and diet? And I was like, yes, all vitamins come from diet. And she was like, okay, I'll still send it. I never took it.
Yeah.
I'm still suffering.
Jennifer!
She's so stubborn.
I know. I remember you told me that.
Mm-hmm. I remember when mm-hmm. we were at mm-hmm.
But it's hard. It's hard taking medicine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because you've been one way for so long.
Yeah.
And you've had, like, other life, you know, situations happen. And, you know, there, I guess, the effects wasn't as, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't very evident right at first. So you know, I know for me, I've had to come to terms with taking medicines. Not even really anything too big, but the fact that I had to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember telling the doctor, I feel like I'm going to fall apart.
Oh.
You've got to help me. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave my house.
Yeah.
I don't want to get out of the bed. I don't want to drive a car ever again. I'm not getting on the highway.
So like, they gave you something for what? Anxiety?
Anxiety and panic attacks.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you take? Can you share?
So it's such a hard word to say. Fluxentine? Fluxentine?
Fluoxetine?
Fluoxetine. There you go. Fluoxetine. When you're feeling down and low. Fluoxetine.
Is that the name brand or is that the generic brand?
That's the generic brand because it's Prozac, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And then the other one for panic attacks is hydroxyzine.
What's that?
Yes.
Is that the street name or the?
That's the generic. So the Atarax.
Oh, okay. So are these scheduled or are these as needed?
A panic attack is as needed and the Prozac is every day.
Oh, okay. Once a day?
Once a day.
That's not bad. Do you feel better than you did?
Yes, because before I felt like I was trying to explain it to you.
Uh-huh.
It feels like when you put your arm in the blood pressure machine,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, it makes that sound.
Yeah.
It was just real slow all day. And I could swore my heart was
going to
just.
I'm so sorry.
Blow up.
Oh, wow.
So now I don't feel that.
Yeah.
But I still have to pay attention. Because even, like, having fun is too much for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've noticed. I'm
You're
too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Overstimulated. Mm-hmm. I've given up coffee.
Oh,
unless
good.
It's just with no
Damn,
creamer
Raquel,
or sugar. Yeah. I can't work. And I'm just, like still just... Just to turn off my head, when I wake up, you know, in the middle of the night, if not a nightmare, my heart, I gotta go run. Mm-hmm, so... Mm-hmm.
How long have you been taking them?
Since May of this year.
Okay.
And do you combine it with anything else like working out or?
Mm-hmm. Well, I run.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And do you eat right? Is there stuff that she needs to stay away from when she takes medications?
With those medications, not necessarily.
So alcohol, weed.
If she was on a certain other class of anxiety medications, mm-hmm. then yeah. But those are relative. That's
and I really don't even drink it. I don't drink like I used to.
Yeah.
Some people take alcohol with their medication.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I've seen women. I have seen women do it.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be taking any medication with alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah.
I just think of my poor little kidneys. I can't do it. I'm not going to drink.
Are there, like, certain categories for mental illnesses that might prompt medications, recommendations? Like, what about, like, mood disorders? Mood disorder, personality disorders. Oh, God, that's hard, right?
That's really hard.
Yeah, so personality disorders, you know, it's not just like, oh, I have borderline personality disorder and here's a medication for that. Mm-hmm. Or I have, you know, narcissistic personality disorder and take that. It doesn't really work like that. Usually they have, like, some other comorbid diagnoses like anxiety, depression, you know, mood instability. So it's all about what they're exhibiting. And that's the thing about psychiatry. It's not black and white. Like, you don't just say, you've got this, take this. You know, it's based on multiple factors, like your age and what's happening, like what you're, you know, because like you said, like, you have really bad anxiety. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got anxiety, but it's not to your extent. Mm-hmm. So I don't need medication. So it just depends on what
the
patient is exhibiting. If it's that bad that, like you said, I can't even leave my house, I can't drive, how are you going to get to work? How are you going to pick up your kids? So it just depends on the patient. And
so when you meet people like me, because I got to the point where, like, I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to eat. I barely slept. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to bond with my baby. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have any thoughts of, like, hurting my baby or anything that. But I just, like, I didn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
And now I was just like, ugh, just get him away. Like, ugh, please go to the other room.
Yeah.
And then I'm, like, stubborn, and I don't want to take the medication. Mm-hmm. But now it's been a year, and I feel better because I've been doing things like working out and eating right. And I believe, you know, I had some friends say, don't you take that damn medication, because once you take one medication, you're going to have to put another one on to, you know, to help with the side effects. Do you think that's...
No.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, I get that there are some medications out there that something like that can potentially happen, but, like, if they gave you an antidepressant like that, it's not like they would give you something to counteract that side effect. Usually they would just, like, either decrease the dose or switch it to something different. But there are certain medications, like, for psychotic disorders, you know, for example, like, if you have, like, high doses of antipsychotics, sometimes, you know, you can develop some muscle stiffness, so they'll give something to prevent that, but it's not like if they give you an antidepressant, you may have XYZ side effect, like diarrhea or headache, and you may need, like, some Tylenol every now and then if you have a headache, or just kind of watch what you eat when you have some diarrhea, but it usually goes away for the most part. But it's just all about kind of working with your provider and being educated. You know, I think that's the big issue. It shouldn't just be, okay, here, take the medication and then just call it a day. You should say, okay, you're going to look out for this, 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 and this. And then that way you're not surprised. And that way you're not like, okay, I don't want to take the medication, you know.
So when people typically get to the point where they need medications, is it more like a chemical imbalance? So the medications are used to balance the chemicals to feel, like, more normal.
Yeah, so what they do is they block certain receptors in your brain that kind of target, like, the neurotransmitters that we're trying to kind of bring up, so to speak. So, like, SSRIs, that's an antidepressant medication, like Zoloft, Prozac. We're blocking certain receptors. That way there's more serotonin available for your body to recognize and feel happy. So, yeah.
Interesting. You know so much.
What medicines are that you've come across that are more popular than others?
Wait. She followed the outline, baby! She ain't never followed the outline! Really?
Progress.
Oh my God. Girl, I'm about to jump out of my chair. Never. Look, if y'all haven't listened to us season one,
oh my goodness,
this child has never been able to follow the outline. Oh my God. Girl, I'm having a proud mommy moment. I could.
Hell.
Oh, okay.
Just gotta reel you in.
I'm ready to like grab the world by the horns.
All right. Okay. Okay. Who else taking back? You remember the question? Or you gotta repeat it.
You made me forget the question. Okay. What was the question?
Repeat it, girl.
Since you've been in this business, y'all are ridiculous. What medicines have you come across that are more popular than others, and why? Okay.
It just depends. I mean, I think every provider has their certain, like, go-to medication. So you see it, like, in the hospital. We prescribe certain medications, like, first, like Prozac and Lexapro and that type of thing. But because we want someone to be helped, but at the same time have minimal of any side effects. So, like, for depression, for example, we may start off with, like, Lexapro, Prozac, and kids. Like, we work mainly with kids, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, anxiety, you know, we, like, certain medications as well. We don't want them like sedated or anything like that. So I think it's just dependent on the provider. I work with people that prescribe way differently than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I know people like friends or people I went to school with, they prescribe way different than I do. They start different doses, you know, dosages. So it just depends.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are certain medications out there that a lot of providers are their like go-to medication.
Does it have anything to do with contracts and insurances?
Yes and no. Like you may notice that some insurances will not pay for certain medications. So even if you try to fill out the paperwork that like tries to get them covered, it just doesn't happen. There are some people that don't have insurance at all. And so you don't want to be prescribing something that's like super expensive that they can't pay out of pocket. So that's why it's like based on different factors, how old the patient is, what medical issues they have, what insurance they have, because you don't want to be prescribing something their insurance is never going to pay for.
Yeah.
And they're going to go through that every single month when they're trying to refill their medication. So, yeah.
Do psychiatrists typically prescribe narcotics?
Not necessarily. Are you talking about controlled substances, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just confused because I hear some people, like, some of the psych patients, they'll say, I don't like this doctor because he won't prescribe me my narcos.
Yeah. And so, what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, tell us.
So Norco is a pain medication.
Mm-hmm. But it's addictive.
It's potentially addictive.
Okay.
You hear these stories all the time where let's say they had a back surgery. They had a really bad accident, had back surgery, and then they were prescribed Norco. And then over time, they realize, okay, the Norco was, like, helping me for pain. But then they become so dependent on it that they essentially become addicted.
Wow.
And they're taking higher and higher and higher doses just to get that same, like, benefit of the medication. To the point that when they don't have it, they're essentially withdrawing.
Wow.
Yeah. So Norco is one of them. Xanax is another one.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Klonopin.
Klonopin. I know for Klonopin and Klonadine.
Those are kind of the same.
Are they
those for different? But they're used for antidepressants, right?
So Klonopin is potentially addictive. We use it for anxiety. Klonadine we use for like blood pressure. We may use for anxiety.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for mood sometimes, but it's not addicting. But yeah, that's where you hear those patients say, you know,
when narcos.
So if a patient is typically on narcotics, it's for pain alleviation.
Depending on what the medication is, because, you know, with controlled substances, there's different categories, so to speak. So there may be sleeping medications that are controlled substances. There may be anxiety medications that are controlled substances, pain medication. So it just depends on what they're getting it prescribed for. The Norco is for pain.
Okay, like, so psychiatrists typically wouldn't. It would be normal. like a med. I don't know. Is that
you go to your medical doctor?
Yeah, yeah, like your PCP.
Medical doctor. Okay.
And so, like, I see sometimes like the adult patients, they'll go in the hospital and they'll get pissed off at the psychiatrist because the psychiatrist stopped it.
Yeah.
But it's just like the psychiatrist can't provide that. The medical doctor has to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sometimes people come in on a combination of medications that are potentially lethal. So that's where you hear like these accidental overdoses in the news and stuff that they don't know they're taking like a potentially dangerous combination. Wow. So sometimes they have to hold it like until you talk to your doctor, we're going to hold it. But you know, there are some cases where they're so dependent on it that when they don't have it, they're like crawling out of their skin.
Mm. My God.
I know.
Do brand and off-brand type of medications have the same efficacy?
Like generics, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, like, the way the medications work, they're designed to work the same, like, chemically. The main difference that you have with generics and, you know, brand medication is that sometimes with the generics, they have specific, like, preservatives that sometimes patients are allergic to. So that's where you see people that are like, no, I have to have the brand because, you know, X, Y, Z. But in terms of how the medication works, in terms of treating depression, they work the same.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never knew. Like, sometimes I'll talk to pharmacists and they'll say, like, they'll give me a medication. And I'm like, oh, well, what's the generic name? Because
But the generic is just as good as the name brand.
Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, sometimes they have two names. So, yeah. So I don't know, like the name brand is usually like the shorter ones, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the generic brand is like the ones you can't pronounce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when they do the ones that, you know, you can't pronounce, it's just like, wait, what's the other name? Because I know that name.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are some of the responses you hear when prescribing or suggesting medications?
They don't want to become addicted. That's like the biggest one I think I've seen. They're afraid if they start something, they're going to need it the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And that kind of ties into another thing I hear is, am I going to need this the rest of my life? And we don't know. Mm-hmm. It just depends on, you know, the factors that play into your depression or your anxiety or whatever it may be.
Because medication definitely just can't fix everything. You have to combine it with, like, therapy or
exercise,
coping skills or something.
Or it's getting like the family involved.
Yeah, like you said, like, you sometimes will wake up and you're anxious.
Yeah.
And instead of just, like, reaching for the pill, you just, like, let me try one for a run.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, then other coping skills or whatever, then you have your backup. But you're right. It's not. There's no miracle medication out there, unfortunately. It's just... you know, but people think that starting it, they're just going to be so dependent and it's going to be hard to come off it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, you know, some people just need that education to kind of better understand. And there are, you know, some potentially addictive medications. Everyone's level of prescribing is a little bit different. I'm a little bit more conservative. But it just depends. But I also hear, I don't want my kid or my loved one, or I don't want to become a zombie.
Because
we see it on TV and movies. And it just depends how you prescribe it. Is it a sedative? Yeah. Like, is it a medication that's going to make you very sedated or whatever the issue may be? So,
Well, I have a friend who takes medication for anxiety, and she is not a zombie. You see this one over here?
So, I know.
For all you listeners, if you need medication and you need to go see a psychiatrist, use Rocky as your example. She is not a zombie.
She's not a zombie.
Yeah, it literally like boosts her mood. It helps her be able to get through the day.
Yeah, it does.
She's like a walking testimony.
I really am. But I have to take it, you know, even if I do feel good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I feel good. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait a couple of days for them to refill my medication. I feel great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, baby. Mm-mm.
Is that because, like, once the chemical is in the system and you just, like, stop cold turkey, there is some, like, withdrawal effects?
So in certain cases, yes. You know, it just depends on the patient. There's some people that notice it right away. Some people may notice it a little bit farther down the line. And depending on what dose you're on, too. So if you're on a low dose, you may not see it as much. But usually when you're on much higher doses, they're like, okay, no, I'm starting to notice, like...
Yeah.
No, I need it. And but it's like a good thing you mentioned, like even when you're feeling good, you're still taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that can't grasp that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's concept. Just like, I feel better. I don't need it anymore. Stories.
Exactly.
I have heard the horror stories.
That's why we see like a lot of patients readmit to the hospital because they're just like, oh, I was taking it. I was feeling better.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't need it anymore.
Yeah, I don't need it. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, bam, well, here you go. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, how many patients or, you know, people that come to you that self-diagnose and then turn down the medication?
Quite a few.
Are any of them ever convinced and like come back? Like, I can't do this on my own. I need help.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Sometimes we tell people it's not like if you're going to relapse. Like, let's say it's like substance abuse. That, you know, it's not if you're going to relapse, it's when. And... You know, if you think about it, like if you're let's just say you're using cocaine every day to keep you happy, and you try going out, you know, without the cocaine, without any therapy or meetings or medications that may help you, you know, you're at higher risk for relapsing.
Yeah.
And if we can potentially help you in any way, that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. We're not going to contribute to your addiction, but you know, if you're feeling depressed, like you can't get out of bed, you need cocaine to get out of bed, whatever it may be, you know, we want to help you. But there are a lot of people that I think are scared of acknowledging there's something wrong. You know, usually like if you're in a clinic, people know something's happening. So they're going to come to you. It's not like you're forcing people to come in your clinic. In the hospital setting, it's a little bit different. So they don't want to admit maybe sometimes that there's something, you know, wrong. But, you know, there's some strength in admitting that you need help. And I think a lot of people think you're weak if you admit, you know, hey, I'm crying every day. I don't want to, you know, get out of bed or leave my house and that type of thing. They're judged for admitting stuff like that. So, you know, but there are quite a few people that do that. And you know, when we diagnose people, there's people that are kind of higher risk. There's people that are lower risk. It's just depending on like what's going on with that patient. So, but there are people out there and it just is what it is.
Man. Some people come to you and they're just like, well, I have this, so I need this type of medication. They're like dictating like what medication they need and what dosage they need.
Yep.
What? Is something crawling on me?
No, your phone is glitching.
Oh my God. Girl, it looked like it was a bug.
No, I was like, you were talking, and it like, I was like, what?
Jesus.
Girl, they listening in.
They do. They always listen. That's why I say, fuck the police.
Are you talking about Big Brother on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened to me the other day, too.
It's annoying.
It is.
And on every phone, you can't find the microphone. It's just a little harder. Every time to find it, to turn it off.
Okay, back to the thing.
Yes, of course. Hey, she's following the
app. Do you remember the question?
What was the question?
Do people ever come to you, like, so they already know, like, this is what I have, this is the kind of medication that I need?
Usually older. You know, we work with, you know, children's adolescents, so not necessarily. There are some, like, parents, for example, that say, why can't we try this, you know, whatnot. But usually older patients will do that. And if it's not like a severe thing that you're going to have side effects or we're just totally against, you know, we're willing to work with the patient. It's just dependent on what it is, you know. Like, for example, they're asking for all those controlled substances at once. Okay, like, whoa, we're not going to do that, you know. No. But it's just dependent, you know, if you're willing, if you've done some research, we're willing to hear you out. But we're going to tell you, okay, well, you've never been on anything before. We usually prescribing this, but if you're okay, you may experience this, and this with whatever you're trying, you know, trying to start. So, you know, at least that's what I do. I mean,
yeah. You're a good psychiatrist. Oh, you're a good PA.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
I recommend her. I endorse her.
I don't think we ever sent your credentials, So tell us and what the difference is.
So I'm a PA, essentially. I'm board certified. And I think you kind of mentioned it, like, what do you specialize in?
Mm-hmm.
The way we train is we train in everything, really.
And a PA is a psychiatric assistant?
A physician assistant.
Physician assistant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we train in everything. We get board certified in a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go on to practice and specialize in other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, if I just wanted to do surgery one day, I can go and train and specialize in that.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How long does that typically take?
Like PA school?
Yeah.
It depends which one you go to. Mine was 2 years. Some people do 3 years. It just pretty much depends.
Mm. Are you going to go any further?
Mm-mm, girl.
It's a lot of reading, isn't it?
It's stressful. You know, you... With PA school, it was like everything is condensed, and it's not as spaced out, and you're just like
trying to cram it in
and keep on top of it. And I mean, that was probably like the hardest time in my life, to be honest. Like, I could remember like crying on my way to school, and I thought I was like the only one struggling, but lo and behold, a lot of my classmates are even on antidepressants and anxiety medications. And, you know, I wasn't, like, focusing on specializing in psychiatry at the time. But, you know, it's stressful. So me, personally, not going beyond that. Mm-mm.
Has it been easier practicing? Can you, like, can you just kind of, like, let go after the work day is over?
Yeah. You know, I still have to work from home, but PA school.
The work.
Pretty stressful in the actual job.
But was it worth it?
It was worth it. It's just, you know.
It was a lot.
Like any goal
or career
in life, it just, you know, I'm sure it'd be the same thing amongst any profession out there. So,
what do you feel about, like, people believing that medication will make them worse?
I mean, it depends on what they're taking. You know, sometimes people take like one or two doses of, let's just say, like Prozac, you know, you're not going to notice any improvement in 1 or 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
We may be looking out for side effects, but it's not like, oh, that's just going to change your whole demeanor and that type of thing. Like you may feel sedation or you may feel a little bit like queasy, like upset stomach. But I tell people like these medications are not designed to work right away. It's not like a blood pressure pill or a blood sugar pill or a pain pill. It takes some time to kind of build up in your system. Now, sometimes anxiety medications, they do tend to work a little bit faster, mood stabilizers. But at the same time, you want your patient to be comfortable with what they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it does require a lot of like reassurance and just hold on a little bit longer and that type of thing. But we do hear that a lot. The medication makes me feel worse. Sometimes people are already just very resistant to the medication in general. So it does require education just to kind of see what's going on. Like, where is this coming from? Do you just not want to take it? Are you having side effects? That type of thing.
Mm.
I think it depends on the prescriber, too, because that lady that I went to, she could not convince me. Like, if I probably would have went to you, I probably would have felt, like, a little better about it.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you ain't got no more reasons? You want to better than this?
Yeah.
I am not taking this.
Yeah,
do you want to take it? You want to be my pill buddy?
Yeah.
Because I ain't taking this.
Well, you have to remember, like, you're going to her. You know, she's there to kind of, like, assess you and diagnose you and treat you. She can't force you to do anything you want to do.
It's just like a recommendation.
Yeah.
But see, because I work where we work.
Yeah, yeah.
I just listened to one of the doctors. He's like, just go, you know. I said, well, I don't want to take medication. He said, oh, well, we'll just give you a false sense of hope and reassurance.
Oh, wow.
A false sense.
I know.
I ain't going to say no names.
I'm going to say who did that.
I knew who that was.
He's just being sarcastic. And so I was just trying to weigh, like, all of my options. But I think I was in a mindset, like, That's what I needed. I needed the trip to the doctor's office for them to tell me, you need this medication.
For me
to say, like, oh, hell no, I just need to get my ass up out this bed. I need to go to the gym and I need to start eating. Because, like, I went to my therapist. I was not eating at all.
Oh my God.
Wasn't drinking anything. I was breastfeeding. I couldn't, like, produce any milk. I even got to the point where I was just like, I don't want to breastfeed this baby no more. Get him off of me.
Yeah.
like, so I couldn't stand them. I'm just like, why are you here?
Yeah. That's postpartum depression. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of people don't talk about it. And it's good that you start seeing people nowadays talking about it a little bit more. But you had, like, all the classic, like, behaviors and signs and stuff. And you're right. You do need to eat well. You know, exercise, avoid, like, alcohol use, drug use and stuff like that.
But well, thank God. Like, I've never, like, drank or had any type of, like, drugs. Because that would have probably been the time where I would have been abusing.
And some people can't pull out of that. I actually had another PA friend, probably like right after you told me to come on this show. She like messaged me and she's like, I can't cope. Like, I don't, you know, I need to talk to you. And, you know, long story short, she said that she had a baby like a month apart with her friend. No depression in history, no mental health issues, nothing, but developed really bad postpartum. And she had all the support she could get. Like, her hubby went to work for her, like, held down the household, her family, like, you know, they would take turns taking care of her or at least being around to help her out and make sure, like, baby was fed or she can take a nap and that type of thing. And she said she just impulsively one day committed suicide.
Oh, my God.
And she had gone to the doctor. They prescribed her medication. And then they went back because they were like, there was, like, no red flags. Like, what's going on? And sure enough, she wasn't taking them.
Oh, no.
You know, and that's where, like, people that are scared take the medication. Because she did endorse at one point, like, you know, I don't think I really need it and that type of thing. But she had, like, the classic, you know, symptoms and behaviors.
It's dangerous.
The family is, like, baffled because they said, like, they prescribed it. She didn't show any resistance, but she mentioned at one point, like, I don't think I need it. But she didn't really say, like, oh, I'm not going to take it. She assumed she was taken.
And Jesus.
You know, both, so you're very lucky nothing happened.
Yeah.
There's people that say, like, well, I'm Catholic and I'm Christian and this and that, and I'm not going to do anything like that. But you don't know what's going to happen when you're in that frame of mind, unfortunately.
I just wanted to leave.
Oh, with when the kids were born.
Well, not the first one. I was more scared that somebody was going to take her away from me.
Okay.
Because that's when you had just recently left the cult, right?
Yeah, but I have also heard that women that, you know, that mothers have died or they didn't grow up with, that's just something that they're like, you know, just like control. So I didn't, like, Mama Bear was, you know, she never even left my sight. The second child was born. I was okay, but I was sad. I was really sad. And I just remember, you know, that's kind of like when everything started. I was just so sad. I couldn't get with it.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure things out on the phone.
Yeah.
Confusion, a lot of confusion. But I didn't say anything to anybody because, you know, in that relationship, he was already caring enough. So just one more thing, you know. Like, even he was saying, like, I can't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I hit a lot of it. I cried and cried. I didn't leave the house with my second one until I was, like, until he was, like, almost three.
Oh, my God.
But no one, you know, no one picked up on it. You know, we just all thought it was life. But, you know, I got away with it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I would call him. And just crying, I said, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, sweetheart, but I can't talk to you right now. It's like, I understand. And, like, I even had, like, just a nightgown, and I was going to call the grandparents, and, like, even talking about it just chokes me to death because I love them more than anything.
Yeah.
With the last one, I've never told anybody this, but I honestly thought that he was a girl for about 6 months.
Oh, really?
And I knew it was a boy, and I knew that I was going and getting boy clothes. And I say his name, and I would 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 go to bed praying to God, like, God, please let me see that is a boy, not a girl. Please, God, I'll do anything. I really thought I was going to have to tell. You know, and even he was having problems, too, because he wasn't bonding the way that he did the last two. So there was a lot going on. Yeah. With
You thought that he was a girl in utero?
In like, utero and in out.
Oh. So you were like mistaking him for a girl? You
but I would
saying,
never.
Like, she and...
Yeah, in my mind, I would always go like, and she...
Is that a thing? Is that common?
I mean, it just depends what's going on. I mean, there are some cases of postpartum psychosis. So you're lucky no one thought, you know, you were like hallucinating.
It wasn't hallucinating.
Yeah.
I was seeing a girl.
Yeah.
I was seeing a girl.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think
your body
it's because
goes.
You wanted a girl or it's just like
no
something that you just couldn't control?
No. I knew it was a boy and I was excited for a boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In hindsight, do you think you had postpartum psychosis?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I know I did. And I prayed every day. I would literally have to leave my kids in the playroom, and I would go to the closet and just cry and cry and cry, cry and cry and cry.
You weren't hearing any voices, though, or anything at the time?
Yeah, I did.
But you're with very
Kaylee.
Lucky you came out of it.
Yeah.
Do you remember what they were saying?
They were telling me to either run away or kill my baby daddy.
Oh, wow.
And I even attacked him.
Uh-huh.
I even attacked him.
And he didn't seek help for you? Or he just like...
He just kind of was like, whoa, are you okay?
Yeah. Mm. It can happen to anyone.
It can happen.
I mean...
And it was... Yeah. I was just... It wasn't even... and how I know it was... Because we had just had like a hug. Yeah. He just hugged me. We were getting ready for church.
Yeah.
I went and put on my eyeliner and I came back. And something told me to attack him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally doing it. Like, it took me a minute to come out of it.
Yeah.
I was on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of chemicals, hormones.
So they took me off of it
and
tried me on something else.
Yeah.
And I had to tell my now ex, I can't take birth control medication.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to do something to somebody or to myself.
Yeah. Mm.
I can't do this.
Yeah.
So I felt weak. I felt compromised, is that the word?
Yeah.
Defected.
Yeah.
And it didn't help, you know, but he didn't know how to say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was just being honest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But even he was like, that's weird. And he didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And he was still trying to be as supportive as he could. But
yeah,
I struggled. I struggled. And you know, I tied my tubes. You know, so I could help raise those kids
because
the last one was, it was a lot and
yeah.
it didn't help that, you know, he was like, well, that's not, the real reason is you couldn't handle being pregnant physically, look at you. And so like that didn't
that's
help.
Invalidation, right? That's considered invalidation,
that's
right?
That's rude.
And I like, you can't even.
Yeah.
I couldn't win for trying.
What?
Well, you're out of that.
Couldn't win for trying, baby.
That's so rude, though. I mean, I wish all men could, you know, have
be
babies.
Pregnant.
Mm.
Because.
Or like all of them have gallstones and have to pee them out. Every single one of them.
Or the kidney stones.
I mean, kidney stones, I'm sorry.
Anybody can get gallstones, right?
You can get gallstones or kidney stones, but they equate childbirth with kidney stones.
Because it has to come all the way down that little tube of theirs and out that little hoe.
Yeah, like when I had my kidney stone, I was like, this is easy.
One guy, one of my mom's friends, one of my mom's friend's husband passed out.
Broke trying to get the kidney stone out?
Yeah, broke the sink, the mirror, everything. He was 6'4", never had pain, never had to take medicine for nothing. Baby walked up in there and boom, there it got remodeled the whole bathroom.
Oh,
she's like, at least I got a new bathroom out.
See?
My God.
Oh my gosh.
How'd you get into the field? Like, how did you decide, like, you just wanted to do...
psychiatry?
Yeah.
You know, they say in psychiatry that you either know someone who has mental health issues or you are the person that has mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for me, it was, like, a new family that had them. And at the time, you know, I was raised in a predominantly Hispanic family, so we didn't talk about feelings and stuff like that.
Oh, we just talked about that.
Yeah.
Cultural stipulations on mental health.
Yeah. True. And, I mean, you know, it just wasn't the case. So I always knew, like, I had certain family that had something. I just didn't know what. And then I was actually telling Raquel, I took a course in abnormal psychology for my undergrad. Mm-hmm. I had to take a psychology course. So I did it and I loved it. And I loved it so much that I went on to minor in it. Mm. And I went to PA school. I mean, I thought I was just going to just be a regular, like, medical provider, like, go to your family practice or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I actually had a rotation in psychiatry. So I was like, what? You know, I didn't know I could practice psychiatry. Wow. So sure enough, I was able to get a job, and I've been working the past 5 years.
So when you did your psychiatry rotation, what made you say, oh, this is what I want to do? Did you see something, like, anything specific?
Not in the rotation. It was more so, like, when I took my courses in undergrad. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'm just the type of person that I like trying to understand, like, why does someone do what they do? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want to know, why does someone cheat? Why does someone
do drugs? Oh, we talked about that. We can tell you why somebody cheats.
Yeah, I remember you asking me a while back. But yeah, that's just my natural curiosity. I do it, like, at work. I do it, you know, like, social settings. Uh-huh. I do it. And even in, like, movies, I'm just like,
Oh my gosh,
you know? Yeah, diagnosis. Yeah, yeah. I do it. My husband will tell me stories. I'm like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah, yep, and this is what's the problem. This was the problem, Robert. Send them my way.
Oh, man, that sparked a question, but I forgot.
Oh, shoot.
About the cheating, maybe?
Not the cheating, about, are there any case, like, is there any case, like, that stuck out in your head that's just, like, that you'll never forget? That was, like, either bizarre or just, like, mind-altering?
Not, like, one specific case. It's, like, a couple of cases. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to work in the ER, and I would see people come in on PCP. I'd be like, whoa, you know, these people are, like, out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because for me, like, a lot of my PA class went into, like, surgery and ER and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the few that went into psychiatry. And for them, psychiatry is like, what? Like, how do you handle, mm-hmm. you know, like, even my family's like, how do you deal? Like, how is this so normal for you? Like, I went on my honeymoon and I saw someone that was psychotic there. And I was like, I just want to, like, point him in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was, like, homeless and, you know, obviously not on his meds. And and for other people, it's like, just stay away. Like,
Yeah.
I do this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's not so much, like, one specific case. There's, like, multitude of cases that are very interesting, so to speak. But it wasn't, like, one case made me want to do it. I think it's just ever since I took that one course, like I was telling Raquel, my teacher was great. Mm-hmm. And he was telling us, like, his own experiences. Like, he actually just had a lot of experience. So he was talking about, like, Charles Manson, and, like, he got to interview Charles Manson. And,
oh,
like,
that's cool.
Scientology. Wow. So from that point on, I just kind of, like, liked understanding, like, why people do what they do, or, you know. And I think in general, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I just like being able to talk to patients about things that they're not going to be necessarily judged for. Mm-hmm. You know, people can say, you know, oh, I've done this, and I'm not gonna, like, scold them or whatever. It's like, okay, you've done it, or you're doing it, how are we gonna fix it? So
I've heard you talk to patients, mm-hmm. saying, like, well, why, it's very, you know, logical. Why did you do that? Mm-hmm. Do you know why you thought that? Like, I've heard you inquire. Mm-hmm. Has any, like, certain case, like, haunted you, so to speak, or, like, that you dreamt about, or that you were just, like, focusing on so much that you couldn't concentrate?
No, but I do tend to, when like the news comes out, and I see, like, patients, and I'm just like, oh my God, like, and I'm over here thinking, like, is there something? I think we all do it in psychiatry, especially mm-hmm. when someone actually, because I actually have another PA friend. She's like, she's had, like, during the pandemic, she's like, I've had, like, 7 people commit suicide. Like, this is the first time I'm going through this. Like, I'm thinking, like, what could I have done different, or what did I do wrong, or whatever. So I see people on the news, and I'm just like, oh, yep, there goes that patient, you know. And I'm just like, oh, you know. And usually it's like far out from when I see them. I mean, we see them for a short amount of period, of time, but it doesn't necessarily haunt me. But there are some days where it does get to be too much. Like, you hear some of these stories, and you're just like, how did you go through all that? These people that have like all these trauma and like human trafficked, and it's you know, it makes you want to hug your kids a little bit tighter, because you would do anything for them. And when you hear these stories of like being sold for, you know, drugs or whatever, it's, you know, it's sad.
They say that the suicide rate for mental health professionals are usually at a high rate.
Substance use.
Yeah. Is there anything that you and your PA friends have to do to, like, stay sane, so to speak?
You know, you have to learn how to not get too emotionally involved. Like, you can have empathy, you can have sympathy for someone, you can treat them, but you can't enmesh yourself. That's where you start getting into trouble. You know, and that's something I think a lot of people know how to do, but sometimes it doesn't, you know. But yeah, we experience stress the same way as other people. If we're seeing, like, I know you sometimes see me at the hospital, and I'm just like, I'm just not having it. I'm seeing like 25, 30 patients a day. And I mean, it's just all about learning what your de-stressors are. Sometimes I just have to take a break, and I'll come back to it. And like today, there was like so many people calling me, and I'm just like, I can't, like.
I know. They were like, Allison's not answering the phone. I'm just like, it's okay, I'll text.
I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm like,
I calling left her someone. A message.
Yeah, it's just like, there's so many little things to do. And then you got to balance like your social life.
Yeah.
You got your relationship, your kids.
Are you on call all the time? Oh, okay.
Do you feel like it's a little more since, like, COVID moved in?
Oh, yeah. We've seen, like, an increase in everything all these since kids COVID.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
People don't want to be isolated at home, so they do something to get into the hospital so they can be around other people. Man.
Yeah. It's been pretty hectic.
What's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen?
Bizarre.
I think I saw, like, there was somebody who cut off their...
Oh, yes. That was probably the most bizarre, to be honest.
They dismembered their arm.
He was under the influence of, I think, like, PCP or,
I remember,
or Kush or something. Oh, and he amputated his arm.
Oh, God.
To use it to masturbate. As if he couldn't use it.
Yeah. That was a very bizarre.
That was on for that everywhere. That was on the news. That was everywhere.
Oh god.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And we still don't even know like how the mind even works. That's
That's the thing about psychiatry.
We're doing such a good job, and we don't even know like.
We still don't know all the specifics.
Psychiatry will live on forever. It's it's like a big business.
It's a booming business.
I'm in the wrong business. I don't think I could. I couldn't be in psychiatry because I couldn't prescribe medication. Because I'd be like, girl, you don't need it. Go ahead and work out a little bit. Just work out.
Just work out. Go eat something good, girl.
I actually had to put like alarms on my phone so that I could eat and then I could drink water.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, and I gotta spend time with my baby. I'm better, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with my baby. I love him so much. Yeah.
But you're very lucky you got out of it, you know.
Thank God. Oh my God.
You really
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
Because I told myself, I gave myself a deadline. I said, okay, well, I went to the psychiatrist and I said, you know, I just want to keep seeing my therapist. And when I see my therapist, I'm going to ask her, does she think that I need medication? And you know what she said?
What she said?
She said, baby, you are strong. And I think, I know, you're like, she's like, you are strong. And I think that you're able to manage without medication. But if it gets to the point where it looks like debilitating, I'll make sure that you'll get on medication.
That's good.
And it never got to that point.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so she like empowered me and she made me feel like I could do this. And so I just had to put in a lot of effort. And it was like, it was a huge struggle.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was bad, but.
But you're lucky you did that. There's some people that won't even do that.
Yeah,
And that's where it's like, just get to the therapy session.
You got to put in the work. Even taking the little pill every morning. That's only going to do half of it. That's only going to do half of it.
I
still got to eat right. Get plenty of vitamin D.
Sun.
That's what I said.
Well, anyways, we really appreciate you coming out and talk to us about this. Because I think that, like, I think that this is something that is underrated. I think that lots of people think that, you know, medication is just, like, means that they're crazy. Or there's, like, a lot of stigma or, like, even cultural stipulations on medications or, like, religious backgrounds.
It's horrible.
And people are just like, oh, no, I don't need medication. They probably think how I thought. But I'm seeing more now that people are more receptive to medication. And there's more access to that information now. And it's just easier to get medications.
No, definitely.
You think so?
Even without insurance.
Yeah, there's certain programs now where, like if you go to, like, Walmart and HEB, they have a certain list, like, if you don't have insurance.
Oh, that's good.
Or even if you have insurance and your insurance just says, nope, I'm not paying for it, or you're going to have to pay $100 for it. Obviously, how do you get the help if you're paying $100 every month, you know?
People are starting to pay more attention to mental health.
Thank God.
Yep.
But I just wanted to ask them, like, just a really quick question before we go. You know, I've always wondered, I've always wanted to ask, like, a therapist, psychiatrist, anyone in this field, since, like, the whole, like, Michael Jackson death and that medicine and things like that, has there been a dramatic shift in how people can get medications, or is this still a struggle of, like, you know, accountability, like, even for doctors?
What was the thing with his death? His doctor was giving him the wrong medication?
He was helping him, you know, he was enabling him. Obviously, he was addicted to this drug. It was to help him go to sleep. And they use that, I forget the name of the medicine, but they use it to put you under when you're going through the surgery.
Was it that?
I think so.
I don't remember.
So, his doctor was giving him, like, medication.
Controlled substances.
So he
I never paid attention to that.
I think that's why I'm so, like, about medicine. I mean, I will take it, but I just pray to God. I just pray. I don't run out in the streets butt naked.
I know lots of people who do that.
Oh, my goodness.
So they have, like, more what was your question?
Well, I felt like everyone was like, whoa, hey, now we need to pay attention to these doctors, this medicine, like, what's going on? Has there been a shift?
I will say the DEA has been a little bit more hypervigilant because, you know, when we prescribe and we prescribe controlled substances, we have to register to prescribe them. So I will say they have been kind of harping down on, like, what you're prescribing, how much you're prescribing, that type of thing.
That's good.
But Michael Jackson was a different story, though. Like, he had someone that he was paying to. You know, and a variety of medications, too. So he was a little bit different, but in general, I think lately, just with the opioid epidemic. That's kind of been the biggest, you know, issue that we have. So many people are addicted to opiates. And that's where you
I've
see, like, the Norcos.
Commercials of, like, Have you been paying attention to the commercial? Yes, and, like, now there's more medicine coming out to help you get off of that medicine, to help you get off of the opioid.
I don't watch TV.
What? They're even integrating it into shows. Whoa.
You haven't heard about this?
Oh, man.
I think
stuff
Trump
like that
has talked
really,
about it at one point.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. He has. Who? I've been playing Trump.
Oh, okay. I don't watch TV.
Yeah, that wonderful guy who thinks he's doing so much.
I'll do some research on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are addicted to, like,
billboards are starting to come out. It's horrible.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and they have to take a medication to reverse because they accidentally overdose. You know,
and maybe that's why there's so much stigma with medication.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah,
they think like it's more for like drug addicts.
Yeah, drug and that's where a lot of people think that they're going to get addicted.
Mm-hmm. But opioid use isn't like in different states.
What do you mean?
Like more north.
Girl, we got it going on here too in Houston.
But not. It hasn't been like that all for a long time. Like,
oh yeah,
the fact that it's catching my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
It means like it's moving into Texas. Like, it's
well. Remember, Houston is a big hub.
Yeah,
you know.
But I thought we were more like, you know, maybe meth, cocaine.
I think in general,
man,
a lot of
I see so many
that.
People on meth.
It is so ridiculous. Yeah. You know what's so crazy is that you can see like the decline. Like, ooh, baby.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
Like, ugh.
Okay. Well, we do have to wrap it up.
Yes,
we really appreciate you enlightening our minds and our listeners. Do you want to say anything to our listeners?
I mean, I guess just if you do decide to go. Get evaluated and talk about starting medications, you know, just be patient. There's, like we mentioned earlier, there's no miracle medication out there. One thing may work for some person. There's some people and, you know, different medication may work for another person. And it's just kind of having that patience and rapport with your provider.
Mm-hmm.
Don't kind of give up on it right away. These medications are not necessarily designed to work right away, depending on what you are diagnosed with. So just patience.
Okay.
Patience is key.
Mm-hmm. It is. They say it's a virtue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The jury's out on that. Thank y'all for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at www.rockyandjiffy.org. That's RAQY, the letter N, JIFFY.org. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, bitch.